This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QUEERFAM for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Generate Life Sciences. We are so excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility and possibly some of your babies.
Yes. Yeah, totally. So excited.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show
you. Love is love. If you don't have to make a family, but take a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
I am a lesbian. So gay. We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Welcome to our ovaries.
Jamie!
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, JoJo Siwa came out.
She said she's not ready to label herself
yet. She's not labeling herself.
Which is fine. We don't need you to label yourself. Thank you for coming to our community. Welcome, JoJo Siwa.
Yes!
Send us
your address at ovariestalk@gmail.com and we'll send you a toaster oven. Could you imagine if we sent her a toaster?
I don't think.
And just send it to her agent? Somebody, Helen, get me JoJo Siwa's agent so we can send her a toaster.
We can give her a toaster.
Seriously, I bet we could get her on the podcast if we sent a toaster.
I don't know if that's true. Also, she's still a teenager. Let's give her some time.
All right,
but
okay,
I have to be honest. I haven't in the past been a huge fan of JoJo Siwa.
Take it back. We want her on the podcast.
I don't want to say that. Like, I was always just like, who is this girl with the bows that my daughter is obsessed with?
I do wish she would come out as a person who has an addiction to bows and she would stop.
Well,
with
it's her signature. But here's the thing. Here's why this is important. And we shared it on the social. It's because there are millions of young LGBTQ children out there who might be questioning their identity or afraid to be true about who they are. And this can give them just a glimmer of hope. We need more like this.
She has over 10 million YouTube followers. Maybe it might even be 14 million. Imagine that means that 5% of those kids are LGBTQ if you're just going by straight you know, percentages. And that's, she's a role model for them.
For her to come out and just say, this is me, I'm happy with it, and she's super cool. Like, that's going to make such a difference in some child's life.
Also, by the way, so brave. Yeah. And I hate to be, like, really cynical about this, but there's a lot of money on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsorships with, like, places Nickelodeon, like, her, you know, her.
You don't know how they're
going to take
it. There's
a lot of money on the line. And for her to come out, I'm not saying anything bad about Nickelodeon that they were going to, like, ban her, but I'm just saying it's a large corporation. And I saw some video with her, and she was just, like, smiling. She was like, y'all, I feel so good. And I was like,
good for you
with that giant bow. Good for you.
No, you do you, JoJo.
Lose
you the do
bump.
You. You do you, boo.
Have a baby. Get on our show.
I didn't tell you. We got right after I posted it, somebody commented in the comments real fast.
It came on my mind
and said, okay, nice try, sweetie. She has a boyfriend, sweetie. Like, all condescending, like I was a child.
Ew,
thing, which was sweetie. Funny. I was like, do you know I'm a mother?
Ew. Ew. Don't ever say sweetie to me. Don't ever say sweetie to me. I will punch you right in the face.
But then when I went to the post to find it, it's gone. It's like they put it up, and then they went and researched it and saw, oh my God, it's true, and deleted it.
And then they went home and they were like, and then we were all like,
something like that. Anyway,
that's too much.
You know, welcome to the club, JoJo. We're proud of you.
We are. Good for you. And I want to say, we just booked our first guest from our book.
Yes, tell them at home what happened.
So there's this lovely man named Zachary out there from Canada. And Zachary is like a 32-year-old with two moms. And he bought the book for his two moms. And she loved the book and then emailed us. And I was like, Penny, let's talk. And now we interviewed Penny today, and it's going to be on at the top of March.
You guys, Penny is a badass trailblazer. That's what we're going to say there. Her.
And also, Penny loved our book, which you can get at all major retailers.
Yeah, yeah.
If these ovaries could talk, the things we've learned about making an LGBTQ family. We did it.
Go buy our book.
Okay. All right. Special thank you to our newest Patreon members. You try to say these names, Jamie.
Kate
go.
Zame. Thank you so much, Kate. I hope it's not
Kate.
Kate.
Oh my God. And
I hope it's not Zame.
It's not. It's Zame.
And Amberly Boxy. I think I said that right.
Do you think it's Boxy? I thought maybe it was Botchy.
Botchy.
Oh my God. Amberly. Thank you.
Kate.
You know what that sounds like? My middle name is Lee, so my name is Robin Lee. And I had an uncle who had Down syndrome. And every time he saw me, he used to just yell out, Robin Lee!
Aww.
And it was so, he was the most delightful. Like, and that's what Amber Lee reminds me of, is my delightful uncle who was like a heart of gold and would yell out Robin Lee. He would yell out Robin Lee like he hadn't just seen me a day before. And it was so delightful.
Super love. Super. So Amber Lee and Kate, we love you. Thank you.
Thank you! Oh my God, I have to stop.
Helen just left the room. She just slammed the door on you.
I'm going to just say this. Fuck Helen. I said it.
Don't say that. We need her. We do need
I know,
need
we really
her.
Do. We need her to be able to make fun of her because she doesn't do any work.
Doesn't
all right,
do
let's get
thing.
To our guests.
All right. So Lo and Katie, we love them. And not just because they are also Patreon supporters, but why, Robin? Why?
We love them because they were hilarious, delightful, warm, like, Katie was like a badass, and Lo was just like, yeah, no, I liked her as soon as I saw her. And Katie was like, I needed to warm up. And I was like, I love you both so much.
You know also why we love them, because
why?
They are the entire reason this podcast came about. Like, people, like, their story, it just resonates. I just love their story so much.
Oh, I was
much.
Like, wait, what do you mean? I was like, you were thinking about Lo and Katie when
I was
you wanted
thinking
to make this
about
podcast?
Lo and Katie. I was thinking about them so hard. No, I didn't know them, but like, but their story is very resonant of what my story was. So yeah, that's why I think it's the reason it came about.
My God. I know, Helen. Helen's right. That one wasn't good, Jamie. That was.
Their story is important, very important, and we're really excited for you guys to hear.
Let's roll the tape and let's get to their interview.
Helen, wake up.
She left. Jamie, she left.
Yeah.
She's done.
Oh. God.
Hi, Lauren, Katie.
Hi.
Welcome.
All right. We need to know who you are.
I'm grabbing my phone. You know what that means. It might be time for
elevator pitch.
Are you ready? Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Okay. On your mark, get set and go.
So I'm Lo and this is Katie. And we met 5 years ago through a mutual friend. It was love at first sight for me and reservations for her, but I wouldn't let her get away that easy. And now she loves me. We dated long distance for a few years before I moved to Milwaukee about 2.5 years ago. And then we got married this past New Year's Eve. We've been working on our family for over a year now and actually did an embryo transfer yesterday.
Oh, wait, what? I didn't know that.
That's so exciting. Okay, 30 seconds is done, but you just dropped the mic on us.
Holy crap.
Oh my God. Okay.
Nobody really knows. We've kept it pretty quiet. So.
Oh my God, we have so much to get into now.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, so high hopes. Yes. Everybody's fingers and toes and
sending vibes, sending energy your way.
Thanks. We need it.
Well, let's start before. I mean, I'm literally dying to get into the embryo transfer, but we got to start earlier than that.
You met, love at first sight for low, not so much.
I don't know that I believe in love at first sight, but it was definitely like. Something I didn't, it wasn't nothing for me because we would not be here if it wasn't. I'm notoriously very picky about who I'm with. I'm not like all my friends through high school and college and stuff were with like constantly new boyfriend, new this, new that. And I was like, and I had one serious relationship before we met and then was single again for like three years. And I had never been with a girl before her. So I think that's what my confusion and reservation was.
I wish our listeners could see. Mo is alternating between eye rolling and giving thumbs up. Yeah. That was a thumbs up. Okay, go ahead.
Looking back for sure, like I was so drawn to her from the get-go. And, you know, as they like always say, I was so unprepared for it on so many levels. This friend that we met through is somebody that I went to college with, and my group of college friends are super, super close. And we all still get together, and none of us live in the same city. So we do like big, long weekends, like all together in someone's house. And we generally are sort of no new friends. We don't really let other people come hang out with us.
We are closed.
Yes. But she is good friends with one of the people from just like adult life. And our friend was like, well, can I bring these two people over? Like, can they just come? We're so much fun. It's so much fun. I would love for my friends here to meet you. You know, all my college friends were like, oh, fine. Okay. So I just was like, I wasn't like going into this, like, ooh, someone new. I'm going to meet someone. So I was like pretty shook when I met her and like, was like, whoa, I have to like know who this person is.
And I'm a girl.
Yeah. Well, that was.
That's that.
That was
we'll
a lecture.
Get into that. We're going to have to get into that too.
It has been something that I just have. I mean, we're married now. I couldn't let it go. I couldn't walk away from it. It did. it took me a while, but that's also sort of who I am. I mean, my other serious relationship did not happen like in one day. So
you're a toe dipper. You're not a jumper.
I really take my time. I'm a true Enneagram 6.
I'm a cannonballer.
I need to like really think about it and make sure and like vet the situation. And this one needed some extra vetting just because I had to like figure some shit out. But
yeah.
Because she had boobs.
Yeah.
What? Sorry.
It was a left turn for sure for me.
Well, I think the thing too that helped a lot is that at the time Katie lived in Denver and I was in Minneapolis. And so she went after the weekend was over, she went back to Denver and I was in Minneapolis. So it was not like anything was really going to happen. I'd maybe see her with her friends if they got together.
Yeah, there was no
pressure. So we just started like talking through, you know, texts and social media, and we just ended up talking like every single day. But again, there was no pressure because we were so far apart. And then it just from there, I mean, we just couldn't like stop talking and hanging out. And I would go to Denver and I would visit her and he would come to Minneapolis and visit. And it just like,
is there any making out happening?
I was
going to
say, was there any hanky panky?
Not at first. It's actually really funny because the first night we met, we're at the bar and the friend that we have in common is like, we play this game called What Are the Odds? I don't know if you guys know the game, What Are the Odds? It's basically a dare game without the truth. And she kept being like, what are the odds? You guys kiss each other. Just being like us, just being like a crazy person. Like she would have done it to any two people standing there. But I could see in her face, her being like, I don't want to do that. And I was like, rude. In hindsight, we've talked about it. And she's like, there was like vibes and things. And I didn't want it to be this thing where we were like dared to kiss each other in a bar the first night we met. Although that would have been funny in hindsight, you know, it would have been fine. But no, there wasn't for a long time. And our first couple of other times getting together were sort of
Friends. Well, and it was, and they were sort of unusual. So we first met in December, and then later in December, I had to go back to Minneapolis because a friend of mine's father had passed away, and I was coming for the funeral, which, like, I wouldn't have come back to Minneapolis from Denver in 3 weeks later if that hadn't been the case. And then after that, you were already had a trip planned to Colorado to ski, which, like, we did not plan together. It was not part of our thing. It just, there were like a couple things
the
that
universe.
Kept, yeah, the universe for sure kept mm-hmm. happening. And then it was not until like 5 months or 6 months later that any, like, that we actually were like crossed a line and we're like, this is not just like a weird friendship where we flirt a lot. This is like actual feelings.
Well, I'm curious, was there a conversation when that line was crossed? Like, did you talk it out or did something happen? And if this is too much, no, TMI, no, you don't have to.
Then what happened?
Can't remember. No, I think we just kissed, and it was a lot of like vibes that we were like, okay, this is, and then we kissed, and then after that, we were like, okay,
that was a good kiss.
We're kissing.
Yeah.
Lo, do you have any history with going after the straight ladies?
Yes.
Let's hear about this.
I had one thing with a straight woman and it did not go well. So that's why I'm curious.
Yes. I think, I definitely would go after the straight ladies because it was a challenge and I like a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Cannonballer.
She got a little more than she bargained for. I mean, maybe not because we're married now, but like I put up a good fight. But there was definitely something like the weird thing is too, is that, so I'm in recovery, I'm sober and Katie's not, which is fine. But when when I first met her, I had just come off of a relapse. And so for me too, my headspace was very like, I shouldn't be dating anybody. I shouldn't be going into like a relationship. Like I need to focus on myself too. So that was like this weird kind of like dynamic too. And she knew right away, even before I showed up to the group, that like I was sober, blah, blah, blah. And so through like our time trying to like interact and see each other, it was very much like, for me, it was like, should I be doing this? Should I not be doing this? Just for my own like mental well-being and what I need to do. And she was like from the get-go really supportive, which was like something that attracted me even more to her because that is such a big part of my life. She was just like automatically, it was like a no-brainer for her to like be supportive of that throughout like all.
And that's important.
All
yeah,
of
that's
this.
Important.
That's great.
Jamie.
What?
We have to read our most recent DM about our Cryobank sponsorship.
Oh, yes. Hannah Marsh and her wife went to cryobank.com, used our code, which is OCT, and are getting that baby dancing going. Whoop, whoop.
Whoa. Okay. But Hannah did say, just wanted to say thank you for your California Cryobank code. My wife and I just used it yesterday since we're starting to look at donors for our IVF journey. Love the podcast and thank you for being such a great resource since this is definitely a new journey for us.
I love her. So amazing. Thank you. Thank you for using that code. I have never, ever been so excited about a sponsorship, Robin. Mm-hmm. Seriously, if you are a member of our LGBTQ community, you know that making a baby, making your family is going to cost you a bit. But California Cryobank is offering our listeners a free level 2 donor information subscription access for 90 days, you guys.
Oh my God, 90 days. That's huge. Worth $145. Huge. Mm-hmm. And it gives you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos, and adult photos for some of the donors. Gives you access to their medical histories. You can read personal essays they've written. Basically, everything you need to make that donor decision, which is hard.
Yeah, because, you know, making babies the LGBTQ way costs money. And there's really no way around that. But this code is helping our community cut some of those costs. So I'm super excited about this. California Cryobank, you guys, maintains the industry's highest quality standards to give clients the best possible opportunity for a safe and successful pregnancy. I used them. Robin used them.
I did.
We believe in them.
That's right. So if you know you want to go to the sperm bank route, or even if you don't know but you want to see what's out there, this is a great deal for you. Open the account, look around. You could definitely make your decision in 90 days. I'm telling you, you can do it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's cryobank.com, CRYOBANK.com. Make those babies, guys, and then tell us about it.
Yes. Do that. And use the code OCT.
OCT. Cryobank.com. OCT. That's it. Do it.
Ooh. So you get married.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. I want to talk about your coming out and the process.
Yeah. You know, I don't hear a lot of stories like mine in that I didn't really, I mean, I guess I kind of came out, but I still wouldn't identify as a lesbian. I think I fall more into like queer pansexual. The thing that meant that I had to hurdle mentally for myself that allowed me to finally like break down the wall and let myself just be with her is that I took a real hard look at my past relationships, which had all been some of them fleeting, the one serious one with men. And like I said, I take it seriously. I don't just like willy-nilly date people. The people that I actually became attracted to and wanted to spend any time with, it had zero to do with them being men and everything to do with their personality, who they were as people, how they treated me. None of my relationships that I've ever been in have been bad situations because they were really good people. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I take out the part where she's a girl, she's a person that I would 100% date. And so why does it matter to me mm-hmm. if she's a girl or a boy or whatever? And I am attracted to her and I feel like a really deep connection and I feel safe and I feel trust and I feel love. Stop trying to like stop it and just go with it. Just see how it goes. See what happens. Like what? There's literally nothing stopping you. So that's kind of where it was for me. And then after that, I'm sort of a person where it might take me a while to make up my mind, but once I do, like, I don't care what you are going to say or think about it. So I didn't really have any qualms about being kind of out about it. So I didn't really feel the need to like sit people down and be like, so this is
you were just like, this is who I'm dating now.
Yeah. Like I was like, this is my girlfriend. Slow. Like we're together. Take it or leave it. Like I don't
love that. It's so ballsy.
Yeah. I'm either not at all ballsy or I'm fully ballsy. Like, I'm either terrified of it or fully like going for it. And I honestly been really lucky that nobody, my parents are really great about it. Mm. My friends, I mean, the friends that we met, the mutual friend that we met through is a lesbian and I played rugby in college, so my college My college experience was very like open, and everybody had every experience. Nobody
they were
so,
all
like
lesbians.
Yeah, so we were like none of those friends cared. No one has ever really had like an issue with it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like I think the hardest thing I think for Katie was not necessarily coming out to her parents, but just how to have that conversation. I mean, Katie grew up in a. She went to an all-girls school. She went to Catholic school.
I went to an all-girls Catholic school.
All-girls Catholic school.
Yeah, you did.
You know, like her whole life has been not planned out for her, but she had this vision of like, you know, what her family was going to look like, what, you know, she's going to get married to a man. This is how you, you know, have children. This is like,
yeah, not because I necessarily like thought that that was the, I just didn't think of it. Any other
that was what was modeled
way.
For you
yeah like I it really not in any sort of conscious way of thinking about it just like it did require a brain shift to think about it any other way.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that so easy how it's so easy if we don't challenge the norm, it's just so easy to follow the path and not even realize we're following a path.
For sure.
It's really mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah.
I feel similar. At least I don't want to put words in your mouth to like what I think you're saying is like it's just a portion of me. It's not all of me.
Yep.
It's like it's just like I am also just as much a mom, just as much a performer, just as much a loudmouth.
Yeah.
Just as much, you know, like those are all just parts of. And then the person that I'm with happens to be a lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I said to my mom the first time we did talk about it. And she wasn't like she was great about it, but I think she was just like trying to understand. And I was like, I'm the same person.
Mm-hmm.
I just have this person with me now. I'm a very strong, independent person. So like, it's never been, you know, I'm always like, I am who I am. And this is a really great compliment to me and an addition that I have now, but I'm still me. And I've always been
so
me.
It wasn't like I could look back to fourth grade and be like, oh, that's what it was. It was none mm-hmm. of that happened. For
yeah,
you.
No,
that's really
not
cool.
Really. Yeah. It definitely was like a little clarity to be like, to think that I like can think about relationships in a different way and kind of realize that that's maybe why my whole life, like other girls were like, I'll date whatever guy is around and remotely interested. And I was like, I don't know. I'm going to like think about it a little more. And like, that guy's kind of a jerk. And like, I don't know. Like I definitely like take my time more. I think that's because generally speaking, I've definitely been attracted to humans, not a man.
I'm
like
gender.
Just, yeah.
I'm pretty similar to you in that too. Well, I dated a lot of guys and they were great. They were wonderful. And I don't regret any of them. And it was never, I never had any signs growing up that I was gay. I'm a very similar. I totally, totally can relate. And it's really freeing when all of a sudden you realize, oh, I can date whoever I want. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's really, and it's just like, and no one else should care.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's not talked about as much either. I think that a lot of people, because like that isn't my experience. Like I look at it like, I think women are like cats, and like I've said this before, and men are like dogs, and I'm a cat person. Like I just like, I like men, but I don't understand them. I never connect with them in that way. Like I just don't get them on a romantic like level. Like I'm always just like, but like, so, but I think what you're saying doesn't get talked about enough.
And it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum. And now we have so much more. We have so much more language around it now than even I did when I was coming out, because I came out, I had to come out as lesbian, like bisexual. Yeah. And bisexual was like, you can't be bisexual. Yeah. No, you got to pick a side back when I was coming out. If pansexual had existed, if that term was around when I was coming out, I might have come out as pansexual. But now I'm a lesbian. Yeah. Like,
well, no, we'll never know, Jamie. We'll never know, because now you're married to a lady and you got some kids.
I mean, I'm living the life. I'm living the lesbian.
Yeah. And honestly, for me, like, I don't think that I ever go around being like, I'm pansexual.
Right.
I honestly just don't say anything.
Please start doing that.
I should.
Please.
It's like a banner. I just, I'm like, I am me. I am Katie. This is my wife.
And this is Lo. Yeah.
That's it. Well, I think the thing is too, is like you said, you're one that like, you don't give a flying F what anybody thinks, no matter what. Even like when it came down to her family, you know, she was like, if my parents don't like support it or whatever, she's like, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do.
Right. I mean, I would have been sad, but I wouldn't have like, it wouldn't have stopped me from.
And I think through this, we were very lucky that her parents were, they wanted to understand where Katie was coming from and just like the whole process. And like, I had met them before when I would come and visit her in Milwaukee after she moved back here, back home. I would come and visit and stuff. And so like, I knew them before they actually knew that I was Katie's like partner. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I have to tell that story.
If you see us laughing,
sorry.
The story of how my mom actually found
the
out.
The reason why Katie's mom knew that she was maybe seeing me is that there was this big lesbian.
No, okay. I
just want to keep it
short. Were you making out?
No. There was this big lesbian drywaller that was at the house we live in doing work, like stereotypical lesbian. Yeah. And Katie and I came into the house because she wanted to show me the work that had been done since the last time I was here and blah, blah, blah. And it's the house we currently live in. And I was like, oh, cool. And then, you know, her mom was there too, and Katie and I left. And after she left, the drywall lady looked at Katie's mom and said, how long has your daughter been with that girl? Ooh. And Katie's mom was like, that's just her friend Lo. She comes and visits. She lives in Minneapolis. And the drywall lady was like, no, they're more than friends, Sue. And she was like, oh, okay, I don't think so, though. And so that's like what sparked her mom to be like, okay, maybe she is.
Wait. In my head, the drywaller is wearing like painter overalls.
Yes, totally.
She has the trough and she's putting the spackle on the wall. And while she's doing that, she's going, oh no, I don't think so. Yeah. So they're together.
It's a scene.
They're together.
All the vibes. Oh my God. My gaydar can get
so they are making out.
That's a gay movie scene. That is a gay movie scene.
It was.
That has to be written.
It was. Yep.
Oh my God.
Well, you got to thank that drywaller. You better get on Yelp and give her some 5 stars. That made your life easier.
I actually do sometimes laugh about it when I look at the part that she was specifically drywalling that
amazing.
Day.
Like,
I like, just look at it and like, well.
And that she just spotted it. Like, gaydar, like, boom.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. All right, now I want to talk babies.
Okay.
When did you guys start to, you were like, I mean, you've only been married a year.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's been. Well, we started before we got married because Katie is definitely a planner. She needs information. She needs to know everything that goes into every single intricate little piece of something. And I'm more of the like, yep, all right, here we go. Let's try it.
Okay. You can't wing having kids. You can wing having kids if you're a man and a woman. So, you cannot wing having kids in our position.
So about 2 years ago, we started talking about it because like for me, I always knew that I wanted to have children. That I don't want to carry. So I would either have to be with somebody that would want to carry or I would adopt. I'm adopted myself. So that's something that's like important, you know, to potentially adopt down the road. So with Katie, you know, as we were in this more committed relationship, I think we were engaged. We were engaged at that point too, trying to navigate about like around how we would make kids, because this again would be like a new arena for Katie as far as, okay, there's going to be a lot more involved.
Right. Because Katie, you probably haven't put much thought into this because this is all new.
Yeah. It was a weird mix of, I had not put any thought into it pertaining to myself.
Right.
But I am a person who really,
you were educated.
So I actually know a ton about IVF, IUI, all that stuff. I've had several people close to me have to go through some stuff. I am a nanny.
She's a bookworm.
I am a bookworm. I was a nanny for a really long time. I still do a little bit of nannying. God, and so I've been around kids a lot. I just, I like know a lot about how babies get made in more than the old biblical sense. So they get made from super doing informed. It. Yeah. I was super informed on the medical aspect. I had just never applied that school of thought to my life and my future children and how I would have a family. So that took a little bit of like, we had to kind of cross that bridge, but I always knew I wanted kids. I knew that I, despite the fact that literally everybody I know who's had kids is like, it's the worst. I'm actually really excited to be pregnant someday. Too. I will be really sad if I go through my life and that's not an experience that I ever have. So it worked out really great. She doesn't want to, and I really do. Mm-hmm. But that also left us in a place where, how does that look then? Because like, do we do her eggs and then I carry? Do I just do IUIs? Do we, you know, all these kind of options. And we basically both were like, in a perfect world, we'd have kids that were my genetic kids and her genetic kids. And so knowing that for me, like she said, she's adopted. So she doesn't know any biological family. She has a wonderful adopted family. But I was like, it would be really, really great to have a baby that is genetically half yours. Like that would be your only family that you know in the world that is genetically linked to you. So we knew we were going to do that. And I said, how about, since we know we're going to do that and embryos can be frozen for a really long time, let's do that now. Okay. Because I don't want to be in a position where I'm on medication to get ready to get pregnant and you're on medication to harvest your eggs. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. And we know we're going to do this. So let's do it now. So while we were engaged last year.
That's so smart.
Yeah. Harvested her eggs. And also for me, like she said, I need information. I like to plan. So I was like, if we do it now, we know how many eggs we have to work with. We know where that puts us, I think, at least in a frame of reference.
Listen,
you know,
Katie, I think your planning takes it up a notch even from Robin's. I'm impressed. Oh,
whoa, Jamie.
I like a plan. Whoa, yeah, you really do. Like a plan.
That's a good plan, too.
Yeah.
But that is a fantastic plan. Yeah. Like, I don't think have we ever talked to anyone who've frozen the eggs in advance?
No, and not.
I mean, I guess Emily and Libby did.
But that's because they were questioning if they actually wanted to go forward with it.
Right.
That's
right. That was age. But to do it as a pre-planned step. Yeah. Because so you had time in between is really interesting.
And you know you know already off the bat, you're going to have two kids at least.
We would like to, yeah, at least two kids. We would like to try to have one genetically mine and one genetically hers.
I get that.
The story gets a little trickier in that. So we have her three frozen embryos.
So you got three.
You got three good quality ones that
three
stick.
Three grade A embryos.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So it was nice because we, like Katie said, we know that we have three embryos that are mine. So like there's our three chances. And then by that, we were able to determine, okay, how many more vials of sperm are we going to potentially need to try to do IUIs with her? So like, how many chances are we going to have in our lifetime without buying more sperm from the donor? Mm-hmm. And what does that look like for us?
And so, speaking of donor, you got an anonymous sperm donor from a bank?
Sperm bank, yeah. Open. Yeah,
open.
An open donor.
So like from sperm bank.
Yeah. We decided that we would want to give our kids the option.
Yeah, I would assume that would be 18. Important given your adopted low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And just in general, I know, I'm an independent person. So like, I would not want to turn 18 and have my parents be like, sorry.
Right. I know.
Like, it just for me, like, I just can't, I would not want it to, as much as like, I would love to be like, no, you can't know because we're your parents. Nothing you can do about it. That's my personal selfish want. But my adult children should be allowed to
face
whatever they want to, make whatever choice that they want to. And I, 20 years earlier, couldn't take away that choice from them.
Yeah.
So we decided like that for us was important that they would have.
Yeah.
The choice.
I mean, it's a really personal decision for everyone. And it's a grappler. It's not a grappler.
grapple with this decision.
You do.
But
grapple
I think
with
I like grappler. Good. I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah.
Or, all right, Jane. Okay.
All right. So you made that decision. You got three eggs on ice. And then?
Yes. We have three embryos. Yeah. Three embryos.
Did the whole thing and then frozen.
We did the whole thing. Yeah.
Part of it too, why we decided to start it earlier is because, like you guys know, the cost part of it, like we want to try to spread out the cost
smart.
Of it.
As also
much as
really
possible
smart.
Because then we threw in a wedding in there too. And then, you know, it was just a lot. So we're like, okay, if we can try to do some of it before the wedding, and then, you know, we have to pay for stuff for the wedding, and then see what next
and year then brings. Like a pandemic and no job. It's just,
yeah, but you got things. But you got those embryos chilling. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so that left us five vials of sperm.
So you bought six vials total?
We bought six vials and we used the one to make the embryos. And that was like last fall. And so then we got married on New Year's Eve. And then we didn't want to start immediately because we were supposed to go on our honeymoon in May to Europe for 2.5 weeks. Aww. That didn't happen. And also because I'm a wedding photographer and my busy season is fall. And so getting pregnant in January or February puts me due right in the middle. It would take out my whole busy season. And we've been married for 2 weeks. I can chill, you know? We decided that by March, we didn't want to wait anymore. And I was like, you know what, if we get pregnant, and we have to go on our honeymoon and I am pregnant, so be it. Like, I don't want to wait anymore. Tried to start the process. That's when COVID happened. Mm. Our clinic closed down. So that pushed us back 2 months.
And Katie, what was the process was getting you, inseminating you?
Yeah. Yes.
But wait, can I ask before you say about the process, how did you decide that you were going to do the, because you could have gone IUI or put in Lowe's. So how did you decide between those two?
We essentially couldn't decide and made our doctor decide. And our doctor was like, these embryos from Lowe are frozen.
They're good
forever. Like, theoretically, no date on which later down the road you couldn't use them. And my body, however, is only going to continue to get older. She's like, I'm not worried about you right now, but if you transfer one of her embryos, you get pregnant, it's 2 years later, 3 years later that you want to try an IUI with you, you're only that much older. So all things being equal, which they are, they have found no reason that I shouldn't be able to get pregnant and no reason her eggs shouldn't stay great. She's like, I would say try IUIs first.
So using your own.
So inseminating me with my own ovaries.
With the donor sperm.
Yes. March happened. Couldn't do March. Couldn't do April. Couldn't do May, just the way the cycle fell. So our first try at IUI was June. We've done 4 IUIs. None of them worked. Actually, the last one, the fourth one, did work. It was a chemical pregnancy, though. So it was like one whole day of a positive pregnancy test and then not great HCG blood test results.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I think the hardest part was that was sort of a turning point for us because that left us one vial of sperm left.
Right.
And if we want to use that to make more embryos, you know, if I now all of a sudden I'm thinking like, okay, 4 of these didn't work. Now I have zero faith in, I have no faith in anything at all. Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly that happens, right?
Yes.
Like you go from like the first time, like I was like, oh, well, why wouldn't it work? You're putting it right next to it and all the science.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden by the fourth time, I was like lost all faith in humanity as well as science.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I got pregnant then. So, but yeah, so I get that. Well,
it's
so
not
we,
fun.
Yeah. So we were at a place where it would have been really nice for that fourth one to work because it was
the timing of it would have been
the
really
timing
great
was really great
for Katie's business.
And the just the not having to make the next choice would have been really great.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, obviously, spoiler alert, we did an embryo transfer yesterday. So we obviously chose to move forward. There was a little bit where I thought I might want to wait because now if we get pregnant this time, I will be due in the end of August, which again puts me out of September, October, most of my busy season, which is a hard pill for me to swallow, but like, it's okay. I think it's okay. It's okay.
It's going to be okay.
But it was a hard, it took me a while to be like, okay, that's a decision I'm okay with. Let's move forward.
Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify. So you did an embryo transfer with Lowe's egg?
Yes.
And okay. you only put one in.
Yes. So we were at sort of a crossroads of, do we use that last vial of sperm to make more embryos? And if we do that, do we make mine or do we make hers? Do we use that last vial of sperm to do IUI, or do we transfer one of the embryos that we have? And honestly, there were so many factors, like which one of those is the best choice in terms of how that works out for us, but also the cost. And I think it would have been great for me to do an egg retrieval, but I sort of just was like, that's the most expensive part. And we've now spent the money on the 4 IUIs.
Your insurance doesn't even cover IUIs.
No, so it will. After we've had 6
medicated attempts that failed. And so I was like, cool, that, am I supposed to root for that?
I know.
I don't.
So offensive.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. No, it doesn't cover that. But I was like, if it comes down to it and I don't have genetic children, I will carry the children. I am okay with that. Yep. So we want children. We've now wanted them for over a year. Let's just try transferring an embryo. Like that's, it just was like our therapist was like, so there's not going to be like the right answer.
Yeah.
There's just going to be the thing that you do and it will be the right thing in the end.
In the end.
It just will be the right thing. And I was like, then what do we want to do? And we both want a baby and we want to transfer.
We want to start our family. Yeah. Like we have, you know, and we love all of our friends and stuff that are being able to start their families. And a lot of them are on their second or third kid. And sometimes it's hard to watch when, you know, we're trying and it's just not working. And I think the biggest part of it too, with all of this was having to just realize that like, there is no right or wrong thing to do. And the control part of it, just giving up the control. Like we could try to put in place, like, okay, if Katie gets pregnant and this month, she'll be able to work in the fall and blah, blah, blah. But like, no, no, not the reality. So like the control part of this entire thing, at least for me, because my body's not
going through. Yeah, no, for both of us.
It's going to be like, that's been challenging.
Robin always says this, it's just preparing you for parenting.
Yeah.
Once that baby comes.
No control.
You don't get to plan for busy seasons.
It sounds so cliche, but it's so true. Once the baby comes, there's no more control. You have no control.
Nothing. And any control you think you have is an absolute illusion. You know, you can put all the things into place to try to like make things safe and whatever. And then just like my family, your daughter gets hit by a car. It's like you just like, and I had put all the safety things in place and I was even putting a safety thing in place so that she got home on time. So we knew she was safe. And that's when she got hit. It's like, it's all of the control. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean that to, you don't have a kid yet, so I don't want to scare the crap out of you, but I mean, but it's like, or anyone who doesn't have kids, it's okay. But it is like, and Jamie and I were both just like nodding and smiling while you're talking because we just know what's coming for you. But I understand what you're going through. I did all those exact same things.
We did too. Yeah. We tried to plan when each of us got pregnant to work with, especially my wife, because she's
scheduled.
So she's got to be there for school and the schedule really matters.
I have that baby in the summer.
And that was the plan. And that is not the way it panned out.
Both your kids in December, right? Or something like that. Or
November and December.
Yeah.
Holiday season is so fun in my house.
Love it. You are once again just showing the intentionality. And I was thinking about this because Lo and I had a conversation. And this morning I was thinking about how I would make those decisions like that are in front of you of like, do I do this IVF or do we do the IUI? And it's like, you're just showing all you can do is gather information and then just make that next step. And I love what your therapist said. I love how you're wording it. It isn't right. It is what's next. And, you know,
and then that is the right thing.
Yeah.
It has to be.
And it will be like I look at my kids have different donors. It was not what I wanted. And I went to Machu Picchu, for God's sakes. I went wherever I went. I went to Bogota, Colombia to try to make that not be the case. But it wasn't what the universe had in store. And I wouldn't have Henry. I wouldn't have his loving little pain in the ass if I didn't have this other donor. So it's like, but it's hard in that moment.
Yeah. We had to make decisions like this too. Switching to IVF, switching back to IUI. These decisions, they feel so heavy in the moment. Yeah, and they are. They are so heavy. And there's so much. And what makes it even heavier and more stressful is the money involved in all of it.
Mm-hmm. That part just sucks. It feels unfair.
Yeah. And it feels finite. Yeah. You know, in my head, I'm like, you know, my friends, and I know I have had friends that have struggled. I have friends that have not struggled. But either
they piss you off, right?
But you know, I'm still like, you know, okay, fine. You're frustrated, but you're still just like at home
doing it,
getting a baby.
Yeah.
And that's never an option for us. So it feels very finite. It feels very, you know, I mean, not sterile because we really do have a great clinic and the doctors are great and the nurses are great. And it does feel personal and you know, caring, but it is still like, okay, well, we got to drive to the clinic now.
Yeah.
And here I am again.
It's me again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. So it's just, it's a lot. And I knew it would be a lot. I knew you did not.
No.
She was like rainbows and sunshine. It's going to be great. We're going to get pregnant.
We're having a baby.
Time, and our baby's going to be so great. Yeah. And I'm like, we're not going to get pregnant the first time. I can already tell you that because it's just not like, that's just not what's going to happen to me. And by the way, a baby's not easy. Like, I am totally like glass half empty.
And I am totally, yeah, glass half full.
Yeah. Yeah. Your empty glass. She's like, it's full. There's water in there.
But that's good. So,
that's going to be great.
You need that.
Sometimes we have to have a come to Jesus where I'm like, I literally can't be positive right now. You got to let me just like be really mad about this for like a half an hour. And then we can come back and talk about some good stuff.
Yeah.
That's a hard.
I'm like, no, you can't be negative. Yeah, no. Negative's not good.
So we could just like go for a walk and then it would be better. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Feel it?
Yeah. Well, so something that helped me when I was going through mine, and it took me a really long time to get pregnant, and something that helped me, somebody gave me the advice of setting in your head, setting the day. Like, I am going to do this. I set this down. I said, I'm going to do this until the day I turn 45. And if it doesn't work by then I'm going to rethink this. But I told myself in my brain, no. This is going to happen until this time. Yeah. And that helped me just get through it. I mean, what are you doing? Have you set that in motion yet? Any plans to get through it? Or because you guys are a year in now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if this, and oh my goodness, please let this one work. And it, this conversation is nothing, but have you had any thoughts about what are you going to do to get through this? Or what is your cap off? How much can you take?
Right now, I can take a lot more. I don't want to, but I have a lot left in the tank. Like,
That's a good, that's an important thing to know.
Yeah. I don't feel like hopeless about it. You know, good. I feel like it's hard. I feel annoyed when people post like, oops, mommy and daddy couldn't stay away from each other during the pandemic.
So annoying.
And I'm like,
so annoying.
Really?
Yeah, but, sex.
You know, I feel fine. Like, I am okay. I know that this will happen however it looks. And I think like neither of us is ready to say
If we have to, our donor does have more sperm available. So like if we have to buy some more vials to keep doing IUIs, or if we're like, you know what, Katie, let's make embryos out of your eggs. Here's another vial of sperm. Like, we know that we can buy those. We can have them. We'll freeze them at the clinic.
I would double check with your bank and make sure he's going to stay on the
active
market or whatever, active. Because they might have retired him anyway. He can't make any more, but they're keeping him in the store. Whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I would just make sure that he's going to stay there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten there really yet to like really think about it, but I think I would be okay. Kind of like Robin said, like my kids are my kids. I really believe in the power of like our family is going to be our family and it's going to be made by the love that we have and like the house and the home and the life that we make and not the genetic makeup of them. So I think I'll be okay if I haven't really had to like sit with that and think about
and
it.
And I say don't.
And you don't have to. Yeah, if you're not in that space yet, don't even go there.
Yeah, no.
I didn't even start going there till really close to when I finally got pregnant, really, honestly. So
I think anything you could do to take the pressure off is helpful. It's hard, but anything you can is I think important.
Yeah. And I think you guys are just in the right space. You're doing this, you're going about this all in the right ways.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I mean, not to like be like, what helps to have your podcast? But it does help to have your podcast because we don't really have any gay friends going through this right now with us, do we? No, we don't like have anyone that we really like actually personally can talk to. And so it is nice to like be able to listen to something, you know, that is relatable. And like sometimes it's not like, can I relate to like a gay man having to hire a surrogate? No, I cannot.
Right.
But I can relate to the feeling of the effort and the intention and the desire and the just the deep want that makes you choose these things to make a family that other people don't have to worry about. Like that's been really helpful.
We're clipping that out. We're going to keep that in perpetuity. That's going to be
in perpetuity.
In perpetuity. But that is why we created this podcast in the beginning. Yeah. Hearing stories.
And I mean, that's like for us, but I was, you know, when she said, do you want to do the podcast? I was like, I don't know. I don't think our story is like,
yes, it's good. Yes, it's good.
But I'm like, but somebody didn't, will take something from that story and identify with it. And that is all that matters.
This is the
story. Even if it's one thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is the story I wanted to hear when I was going through this. This is exact. I needed to hear somebody who is going through exactly what I was going through. And this is it. You're in the muck
there's
of it.
There's somebody somewhere who's going to hear this and be like, this is exactly what I needed to hear today.
Yeah.
And also, I was thinking, it's so funny that you say that, because when we first started talking, we were talking about like your coming out story. I was thinking, this isn't, when we first started talking about the podcast, it was definitely more in the fertility family. But what the podcast evolved to really quickly is these stories of our families and how we're created. And that even is you two meeting each other and what you went through and who you show up in the universe as. Like, I'm not saying I'm a lesbian. I'm not saying I'm just me. And this is Lo. And that's an important story. Like, all of these things together are so important for everyone to hear. They just are. Mm-hmm. We are never treading on, oh, that story has been told.
Ever.
Never.
Ever.
Yeah.
Never. We have done over 100 episodes, and every single time I'm like, and then what happened? Like, I'm so glad you reached out to us and you said yes, because it's, your story is important.
So important.
Thanks.
And now I need you to be pregnant. I said it. I don't want to put that pressure on you, but I need it. So
I need it too.
I know. But and even if you're not, that's okay. It's going to be okay in the end. It's all going to be okay in the end. It's all going to be okay.
And we are definitely, as I love to say, invested in all of this outcome. And we better hear more and more and more about the whole journey.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hopefully our journey is just like being pregnant and having a baby and then being like, whoa, we have a baby.
Yes.
But then it's next steps, because you still have all these decisions to make.
Yeah. And I feel like the next steps are you on the live stream talking about those next steps. That's our next step.
I feel like when I explain this to my friends too, they're like, wait, and then? So you have to also do that?
And then, and then adoption. I mean,
and then
like
that next thing.
Yeah.
And also having that door open in your brains already, you're just in a good, you're in the right place. You're in the right space. Yeah. Just knowing that you have all these doors open and you can take whatever path you want. Right now you're on this path, but there are other paths.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes down to it, and you're open to so many paths, which is the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you guys so much for sharing your story. We absolutely loved it.
Thank you
for having us on. This was awesome.
Those two.
Oh, Katie.
Don't you want to hang out with them?
I do.
Don't you want to hang out with them?
I do. And now you see what I mean about why.
I do.
Why their story is so important, guys.
But I think these two might actually have us over for dinner. This could happen.
I think you're pulling at straws. Is
probably
that the saying?
Probably not. No, it's grasping, Jamie. It's grasping.
All right. We love them. Thank you so much, Katie and Lo, for being on our podcast.
And I hope, we don't know because I have not asked them, but I hope that embryo transfer worked in all seriousness. I hope it worked. I'm afraid to ask.
Well, no, it's not our place anyway.
It's really not our business. No. All right. I would like to tell people that if you would like to get our book, it's called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making LGBTQ Family, and it's available at all major retailers. Buy locally at IndieBound. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you like the harsh tones of our voices, then you can get the dulcet, sleeky tones. We read the audiobook. It is available through Amazon and iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to review us on Amazon or Goodreads.
Oh, please.
That's all.
Please do. Especially good ones.
Please do.
We'll take good ones.
Please do.
So, you know what, guys? Let's just keep the conversation going. I think we've joshed around enough with you. It's time for you to get on with your lives. Join us on the social, guys. You can find us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, and you're going to see recordings of all of our live streams, which, by the way, we do every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook and YouTube. And you can catch all the old ones there in the in our YouTube page, which is always fun.
In the YouTube, as we like, in the internet.
As old people say. You can also support our podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And don't forget, on Patreon, you're going to get bonus content for the support you give us. So you're going to get unedited videos dropped the day before, so they come out on Sunday, of full interviews. Also, bonus contents of what our guests say, some bonus videos of them, extra things about their stories, and sometimes
all kinds
some
of extra stuff.
You know, wacky footage of me and Rob and being wacky.
Oh, jeez. Okay, I want to thank our sponsor, Generate Life Sciences, and a big thank you to all you Patreons who, both of you, are helping us make this show a possibility. We thank you so much.
We do. Thank you, guys. Hang in there. Don't touch your face. Goodbye. Keep washing your hands. We're going to get through this. I'm feeling very down on the pandemic right now. But anyway, let's say goodbye. Till next week, our friends, or on the social. We love you. Eggs. Ovaries.
Out. Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.